preach with the power of the Holy Ghost. I am, if you have your Bibles, I'm going to ask you to keep your Bibles close to you today. Brother Ted's going to try to help me as we work through some scriptures on the overhead today. I am going to teach a little bit more today than I am preach, because I think you need both. I can imagine during Sister Mary Lou's days in the church earlier in life, you had a lot more Sundays where pastors just taught. It wasn't all fire and brimstone preaching, but sometimes you just need to get in. You need to study the Word of God and see what the Word of God says. And we need to follow the Word of God. But we are going to 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. That's where we are going today. And if I could get one of you gentlemen over there to turn the fan switch on the furnace, please, to help me out with that. Chapter number 12, starting at verse number 1, is where we are going. Verse number 1 says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts," and he's working on that. He'll catch up with us in a minute. "Concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Ye know that ye were Gentiles, carried away into these dumb idols, even as ye were led." So Paul is writing to the Corinthian church, and he says, you know, you remember, even as the Gentiles are, they're carried about worshiping these silly idols that don't have any power, don't have any authority. And they were, in a sense, into superstition and Greek gods and all of those things the Gentiles were caught up in. It says, "Wherefore," verse 3, "I give you to understand that no man, speaking by the Spirit of God, calleth Jesus accursed. And no man can say that Jesus is Lord, but by the Holy Ghost." Now, understand this. There are a lot of people that say they know who Jesus is. But the Bible says you can't call Jesus Lord unless it be through the Holy Ghost. So that tells me the Holy Ghost must be necessary in order for you to really know God. Now, this isn't Brent theology. This is Paul's theology right from the New Testament. The Holy Ghost is of utmost concern that we have it. If you move on to verse number 4, it says, "Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit." Now, there are differences of administrations, verse 5, but the same Lord. Verse 6 says, "And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all." He said we must understand that there are different gifts that are giving. There's different diversities in the operations of those gifts, but it is the one same Spirit working through all of it. It is not something different. It's not like there's 3 or 4, 10, 15, 20, whatever you want to call it, number of gods. But there is one God, and it is His Spirit that operates in the church. And how many knows we need those operating in the church? We need the gifts of the Spirit manifest in the church. It is very, very important. Moving on. It says, verse number 8, "For one is given by Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit." So it says one will be given wisdom, the other one will be given knowledge. Have you ever seen some people that can open the Word of God and they know so much about the Word of God? You wonder, how can they be so good? Brother Tracy is like this. He's one of these guys that you open the Word of God, you think you're teaching him something new, and he'll ask a question that he already knew. But the reality is, knowledge is something that is sometimes given by God to individuals to be able to work their way through the Word of God. There are other people that knows how to make wise decisions at the snap of a finger. There are other people has to think about it for days. I need to pray about this. And they'll wrestle with the whole question. And they'll wrestle back and forth with, what decision am I going to make on this job? And what decision am I going to make with my family? And what decision am I going to make? and there are other people that can look at the whole situation in a matter of moments. Boom, boom, boom. These are my options. This is what needs to happen. This is how it's going to affect me spiritually, mentally, physically, how it's going to affect my family. I know what decision I need to make right now. Because they have wisdom. And that can be a God-given thing. Verse 9, to another faith. Now, I hope this doesn't embarrass Sister Mary Lou, but Sister Mary Lou has a lot of faith. And I admonish that. And she strengthened this pastor by her faith. There are some people that know that they can walk in the faith. They have complete confidence in God, that God can do anything at any moment, at any time. They walk in the faith. God has given them an element of faith. Everybody's given a measure of faith, but some people have the gift of faith. That, you know what? There are individuals in my life that I will go to, even as a preacher, that if I need God to touch a situation, I will go to that individual because I know they have the faith in God that God will move and God will touch. And that is an element and a gift of faith. It's above and beyond what's given to everyone. It's a special gift of faith. Verse 9, and to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit. There are some individuals that God has given them healing after healing. They've laid hands on people and seen God heal them. I will never forget, can I tell just a couple of examples? We all know the walking miracle in our church of Brother Tracy, and I've told his story many times already. But I'll never forget the day that I was sitting in the trailer as we were having a little festival in Walkerton. And I was sitting in the trailer. We were roasting a pig. Anybody like to do a pig roast or hog roast where they put them in the thing and you turn that pig and you roast that thing and pretty soon you got some really good pulled pork or barbecue or whatever you want? Well, we were roasting this pig and there was a gentleman that came down and he was intoxicated. He was drunk. He was really drunk. And I was with Brother Sandy from Walkerton Church and he was up in years. But he had arthritis so bad that his wife had to get him dressed. He couldn't even get himself dressed. His fingers were literally that big around. They had him on gold pills, meaning it was a pill that you would take specifically for arthritis. That it attacked his fingers and his joints so bad that he couldn't bend down like this and pick anything up because it was in his knees. His knees were literally this big around. And that gentleman that was intoxicated became to around and he began to antagonize us and mess with us a little bit. And now Brother Sandy looked at me. He said, this was about 2:30 in the morning. He looked at me and he said, Brent, he said, if we have any trouble, you're going to have to run down to the police station. He said, because in my day, I could have wrapped that man up like a pretzel. He said, but I can't do anything. I can't protect us. He said, you can run. He said, if he gives me any trouble, he said, you're going to have to run down to the police station and get an officer down here. He said, I wish I could do what I used to be able to do. He said, but I'm lucky just to stand up now. He said, I used to run a very prominent business doing landscaping. He said, but my body just cannot do it anymore. I'll never forget as he came to the altar one night. We were in revival. He came to the altar one night and he said, I want to be able to do landscaping again. I want to be able to be used and be able to do things again. I am sick of being bound and my wife having to get me dressed every day. He said, I am sick of this. And he said, he came to the altar that night and he lifted his hands towards heaven. And I watched an evangelist put his hands on his head and he began to pray for him. He said he felt as a sensation came from the tips of his fingers all the way through his body and out his feet. That man went home, got himself undressed. The next morning, he was up, had his clothes on, had a coffee made before his wife ever got out of bed. She said, honey, what are you doing? He said, God healed me last night. He said, look at my fingers. He said, I can move my fingers. Within 6 months, he'd bought a tractor. He was back in business doing landscaping. Because the power of God had healed him. I watched him as he had a bad knee, and he had a knee replacement, and he could not get that knee to function back properly. My dad was in Canada, and he was sitting there with his walker in church. The evangelist began to preach about the power of God. And his faith is so high. As he came to the front of that church that night, he said, "You know what? God healed me of arthritis. God can fix my knee." And as we began to pray, I watched him as he laid his walker down. And he started walking around that church. And walked around that church four times under the power of God. And never picked up a walker again until just recently, when his health has just completely deteriorated because of age. I'm telling you, we serve a God that does heal. We serve a God that can do the supernatural. And there are some individuals that have faith. Some individuals that have gifts of healing. I can tell you both of those miracles were under the anointed ministry of the same evangelist at our church. Because there are some individuals that have the anointing of God and they have that gift that they can see healings take place. To another, the working of miracles. Miracles do still happen. How many believes miracles still happen? I'm not talking about healings. I'm talking about miracles. How many believes when you're completely out of food and you have nothing else to go on, how many believes God can send somebody with something and have it at your doorstep and you will never know where it came from? That's a miracle of God. That's the kind of miracle. There was a gentleman we were listening to, one of the, I don't know if you got the news, but when we had a general conference this year, the United Pentecostal Church was based upon sending foreign missionaries to the foreign fields. This year, during the preaching of one of the ministers, God started moving on giving. And during that anointed message of God, over $1 million was given in one offering that night. And it all started when an evangelist, Brother Anthony Mangan from Louisiana, began to talk about what God had done. And he said 2 weeks ago, he said, "Our church had a foreign mission service and we raised over $150,000 to send to the foreign mission field." He said, "Mickey and I, his wife and I, had decided we were going to give $10,000 of our own money. $10,000 of our own money. Not from the church, but from his personal finances that God was going to use, so that the missionaries that were here didn't have to go church to church to raise their money to go back to the fields. They could just go right back to the fields and go back to work." He said him and his wife prayed about it. They gave the money. 1 week later, he was sitting in his private study, studying to preach at General Conference the next week. He said the phone rang. He said it was his wife. And his wife said, "Honey, you're not going to believe this." He said, "What do you mean, honey?" She said, "You're not going to believe this." She said, "The IRS just called us and said they made a mistake on our taxes. And the IRS is sending us a check for $10,000. That's called a miracle. That's the way God works. He said 20 years before, he had done the same thing. He had decided that him and his wife were going to give a substantial amount of money. It was over $20,000 to foreign missions at that time. He said they gave the money. He said a week later, someone walked in his office, one of the gentlemen, one of the treasurers from the church. He said, "This may be a fraud, but you need to read this envelope." He said, "Okay, what's it say?" He began to read it. It was a substantial amount of money. He said, "We'll call and verify that this is accurate." The gentleman picked up the phone and he called the bank in Texas. And he said, "Are you Pastor Anthony Mangan?" He said, "No." He said, "Then this bank cannot deal with you. I can only deal with Pastor Anthony Mangan." He said, "Okay, I'll put him on the phone." Gave the phone to Pastor Anthony Mangan and he said, "Is this Pastor Anthony Mangan?" He said, yes, it is. He said, I guess you have received the envelope that we sent you. He said, yes, we have. He said, that is not a joke. He said, let me explain to you what has happened. He said, there was a young man at one time, and his name was Anthony Mangan. He said he was preaching in Texas. He said, and there was a gentleman sitting in the church that day. He said, and you impacted his life, you impacted his world, but what you did not know is that gentleman was a very wealthy man. He said, and he owned a business. And he said, he came into my office, and he said, I didn't know when the time was going to come. He said, but the time is right. He said, I want you to take $20,000 from my account, and I want you to send it to this preacher at his church. He does not know how much he affected me as a young man, but I want you to send it to him. He said, that is why you just received a check of $20,000. He said, I gave $20,000, God gave it right back to me. I gave $10,000, and God gave it right back to me. He said, the miracles of God will never outweigh our... We can't fathom how God works, but God works. God is still a miracle worker. He said he gave another prophecies. What is prophecy? Anybody know what prophecy is? It's prophecy where I come down to these young ladies and say, you're going to marry a man that's going to be a millionaire and you're going to have all of these things. No, that's not prophecy. That's good fortune and you hope you get it right. Prophecy is when you look into a church body, like we saw 2 weeks ago when Brother Viles looked at us and he said, this church, I don't know if any of you caught it, he was preaching prophetically to this church. He said, there has always needed to be a church in this city. And he said one thing. He said, God's going to send a harvest of souls and you're going to have a long and thriving church in this city. He was speaking prophetically. He wasn't just something that he felt at the moment, but that was the Spirit of God working through a man of God, speaking prophetically to a church. I'll give you one illustration of this. We have an individual that comes to the Walk Into Church on a regular basis that is a prophet of God. I can say it with confidence. He is a prophet of God. And in today's world, a lot of people take that lightly, but I don't. Because I watched as that preacher came to our church one Sunday morning. No one in the church knew he was coming but my father and myself. I was dealing with things at that church that nobody else knew I was dealing with some staff members at that church. Pastor was the only one that knew what I was dealing with. Pastor called me on a Friday. He said, I want you to tell no one. But this individual called me. He has Sunday open and he felt like God wanted him to come to our church. He said, I did not tell him anything. I said, we will see you Sunday. 10 o'clock. He said, I'll be there. He walked in that Sunday, and the power of the Holy Ghost hit that place so strong. I watched as he preached to that church and unraveled the very situation that Pastor and I was trying to deal with prophetically. I mean, to the point where he nearly could have just opened the book and read it word for word what had been discussed in a staff meeting. I watched as Pastor and I just sat there and cried at the power of God, because God used a prophetic word to warn somebody that you can't go against the man of God. You better always support the man of God. And he was preaching prophetically that day. So you can't tell me that God doesn't do it. God does speak prophetically still to the church. And others he gives discerning of spirits. There are some people that can walk into a situation and sense, this isn't right. There are some people that can sense the spirit of a person to know whether they be of God or not. Now we all have this sense, but there are others that can step into the sanctuary of God And God will show them things, and they can feel things in the spirit realm that other people can't feel. Why? Because God has given them the discerning of spirits, and they can sense if it's of God or if it is not. To others, diverse kinds of tongues, and others, interpretation of tongues. Now, what is speaking in tongues? What is that? Speaking in tongues is the Spirit of God speaking through a person, man or woman, in another language that they did not learn and they do not know. They are giving themselves over to the Spirit of God and they are speaking in another language. That is speaking in tongues. Now, there are two different types of speaking in tongues. Anybody know what those two are? You want to take a stab at it? One is the Spirit of God speaking to the church. Meaning, one of these ladies feels the Spirit of God moving upon them, and they had the gift of tongues, and they were to stand up, and they were to predominantly, loudly begin to speak in tongues, and the crowd becomes to hush. And there is a clear speaking in tongues very directly to the church body. That is the Spirit of God speaking to the church. When that happens, the Bible says, if you are going to do that, be sure there is someone there that has the gift of being able to interpret that tongue. For instance, if they were to stand up and the Spirit of God, they had the gift of God of tongues, and they stood up and they began to speak that, And someone over here had the gift of interpretation. As the church were silent, before anyone would go back to praying, the interpreter would interpret what God was telling the church. And he would begin to speak out, or she would begin to speak out very directly what God wanted to tell that local body. Now keep in mind, the tongues and interpretation, 99.9% of the time, are to the church body. Meaning, the corporate church as a whole, for direction for the church. It does not call out individual people most of the time. Because that's God does not operate necessarily that way. He does not embarrass people. But God will speak to the body as a whole. I've seen it many, many times and have seen it often. This is not something that would happen on a consistent basis, all the time, every week. But that is a gift that God gives. Now, the difference between that and just generally speaking in tongues is something totally different. And I will touch on that in a minute. Verse 11 says, "But all these worketh that one, and the selfsame Spirit dividing to every man severally as he will." Verse 27 of the same chapter. If you want to skip over there, I'm just skipping a section so that we can move to the next part. Verse 27 says, "Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular, and God has set in the church first apostles, second prophets, thirdly teachers, and after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues." And then he asked the question, are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gift of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? The reason he has given diverse gifts and he gives them to all different people is so the church as a whole body can have the complete working of God. We need those that can come to this church and speak into us from an outside voice that says, you know what? God is really doing things and lift our faith like Brother Viles did just a couple of weeks ago. And then we need services like today. As a pastor, I have to have the gift of teaching. It is very important that I have the gift of teaching. I also have to have the gift to be able to speak and preach evangelically. What does evangelically mean? That means I have to try to get under people's lives and try to provoke them to want to try to come to God. I have to make God look so good And heaven's so real that they don't want to miss it. That's my job. A pastor has to have more than one gift. A pastor has to some Sundays be able to preach to sinners and lives that are lost. And there are days like today. Most of us here have experienced God. Most, in fact, I can pretty safe to say everybody's here been baptized in Jesus' name. And there are Sundays like this that it's time to teach the church. It's time to get into where we live and explain things doctrinally so we understand. When we see someone speaking in tongues, we understand what it is and we can relate and we know how those things, because there are parameters. The Bible says, let it be done in two or three, meaning one or two speaks in tongues, but not more than three. And there should always be an interpreter. The Bible says that the gifts are subject to the prophet. Meaning, there are times that I'm going to be preaching, and I'm preaching in a bit prophetically today, because our church is going to be much bigger than this as we go on down the road. And we're going to see these things coming to pass. Some of you will have gifts that God uses you in to strengthen the body. The Bible says to desire those gifts. Don't run from those things, but desire those things. You want to be a part of the body. You want to be a working member part of the body. And the Bible says that there are going to be times, and I've had to deal with this in other churches, from the pulpit, as a minister. Now that sounds a little harsh, doesn't it? But I've had to do this. I've had to tell people to please sit down and please be quiet, because I had a word from God and it needed to be spoken at this point in time. Your speaking in tongues is good, but you're only edifying yourself. You're not edifying the body. And for the good of the church, I as a pastor or a minister need to preach to the church. Because there may be someone here that's never experienced what we've experienced. And this is what Paul was dealing with at the church of Corinth. The church of Corinth was so zealous about being used by the gifts of the Spirit that they would come into church and they literally would speak in tongues the whole time. Now, how would you guys feel if I walked into this church, sat down up here, started speaking in tongues? You all came in, you had song service, and I'm still speaking in tongues. You all went home. We wouldn't have much of a church, would we? That's what they were dealing with in Corinth. It was, one had a gift of prophecy, and the other had the gift of interpretation, and it was tongues and interpretation, and this one speaking in tongues, and that one speaking in tongues, and somebody, Paul says, what happens when somebody walks in that door, sits down on that pew, he says, and all they hear is a bunch of babbling around them. Nobody stops and gives an interpretation. Nobody speaks prophetically to them. Nobody explains the gospel to them. And they go out and say, those people are nuts. It's exactly what Paul said. He said, they're going to say you're a bunch of crazy people. He said, God is not the author of confusion. God is not the someone that's going to let people come in and say, boy, that's my church and they're all crazy. That's not the will of God. The will of God says when somebody walks through that door, Brother Tracy's mom shows up on a Sunday, which she's going to do one of these days in Jesus' name. Yes. And she comes in and sits down on the pew. She wants to hear Pastor preach. She wants to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. She wants to hear the anointed power of God giving her direction and hope for her life. Because that's what she came for. But we must be careful as we grow and as we become a bigger church, that in the middle of my preaching, you don't take it upon yourself just to stand up and interrupt the whole thing. And I will give a clarification right here. If there is ever a time, hear me out, there's ever a time you need God and you need to come to this altar, you can come anytime. I don't care if I'm preaching. I don't care if I'm singing. Doesn't matter what's going on. If you need God and you need to come to this altar is always open. There's never a close sign on it. But if I'm preaching and the power of God is falling and you feel like the Holy Ghost is moving on you and it's time to speak in tongues and you're edifying yourself and you're just getting yourself a good blessing, that is wonderful. Get yourself a blessing. Tap into the Holy Ghost. Get the Spirit moving. That's all wonderful. But do it for yourself. And don't interrupt everybody else that's trying to hear the preached word of God. And all they hear is you standing there speaking in tongues and interrupting everybody else, and they aren't getting anything out of the preached word of God. The Bible says to be subject to the prophet. And as long as there's prophetic preaching going on from the pulpit, it's time to listen to the man of God. Because that message, the Bible says, can save your soul. It can transform your world. But we must not let it get out of control. Verse 31 says, he asked the question, are we all apostles? Are we all prophets? Are we all teachers? Are we all workers of miracles? Because some people want to be able to do everything, do they not? You ever seen some people that like to control everything going on? You ever seen anybody like that? Verse 31 says, but covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. Now, we are going to flip over to chapter number 14. Now, I'm skipping to another chapter. We're going to start at verse number 1. And this is the clarification that I was giving just a moment ago. Now I'm going to give you biblical doctrine for that. Verse number 1 says, follow charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that ye may prophesy. Paul says, number 1, have love. And he said, desire the spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy, meaning rather that you may give direction to someone. I'll give you an example of this. If you had somebody coming down the road, and Sister Denise is standing, Sister Denise is standing at the corner down here, and you pull up, and you say, Sister Denise, can you tell me where McDonald's is at? What did you get out of that? Absolutely nothing. But that's what Paul was trying to tell the Corinthian church. That's what someone gets when they come into your church looking for direction. You didn't get anything out of that but a bunch of babbling gobbledygook, and they still don't know where they're going, do they? They still don't know where McDonald's is at. Ask my wife, she'll tell them where to get the coffee. She'll tell them where McDonald's is at. She can get a cup of mocha down there. But we need to be very careful that we give a clear direction. And Paul says, spiritual gifts are good, but give a clear sound. Verse 2 says, for he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. He said, when you're speaking an unknown tongue, you're not talking to everybody else, you're talking to God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mysteries. He said, you're speaking mysteries in the spirit of God. This is powerful. That doesn't do any good for Brother Rodney here. That's all great for you, but it didn't help him. And that's what Paul was trying to get across to this church. He says, but he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. He said, when you prophesy, you're giving them direction. You're telling them what can save their soul. And maybe they've had a really bad week that week. And you can give them a little pick-me-up in the middle of the sermon that says, you know what? It's going to be all right. You're going to make it. You can do this thing. God's coming back for you. And you can give them a little hope. Then he says in verse 4, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself. But he that prophesieth edifieth the church. He said, when you're speaking in an unknown tongue, Paul said, don't get me wrong, it's good. He said, but you're edifying you in yourself. That's a good thing. He said, but when you prophesy, you edify everybody. The whole church gets a pick-me-up out of it. He said, I would rather that you do that when you're in the corporate body. Then he goes on to say in verse 5, he said, I would that ye all spake with tongues. Notice that. He said, I wish you all spoke in tongues, but rather that ye prophesy. He said, that's good that you speak in tongues, but I would rather you prophesy. For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh in tongues, except he interpret that the church may receive edifying. He said, and if you're going to speak in tongues, it's better that you have an interpreter so that the whole church can get something out of it. Now, brethren, if I come to you speaking with tongues, what shall it profit you? He said, if I get up here and start preaching my message and all I do is speak in tongues, what did you get out of that? Probably nothing. Except I shall speak to you either by revelation or by knowledge or by prophesying or by doctrine. He said, by one of those things, you can glean something from it and you can grow. He said, even things without life-giving sound, whether pipe or harp, except they give a distinct in sound, how shall it be known what is piped or harp? He's giving a war illustration here. He says, if you go out, and in the old days, they would, my boy was played drums, and he's a drummer, and he does a, and it has a specific purpose in the military when America was at its birth. And they would blow the bugle, and the bugle meant what? Charge. But what happened when someone blew an unclear sound? There was confusion in the ranks. No one knew. Did that mean retreat? Did that mean go? Did that mean stand still? Did that mean shoot? This could be bad, couldn't it? Did that mean you could have some running forward? You could have some running backward? You could have some shooting? You could kill your own men by not giving a clear, distinct sound. And we as the body of Christ can do the same thing. If we don't operate in the gifts the proper way, it can destroy people within the church. It is very dangerous if you're operating in the gifts of the Spirit and you're not doing it biblically. Gifts are good, but they must be done according to the Bible. He goes on to say, for if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to battle? So likewise ye, except ye utter by tongue words easily to be understood, how shall it be known what is spoken? For ye shall speak unto the air. He said, the air just, did the air get anything out of it? He says, there are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them was without signification. Therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, I shall be unto him that speaketh a barbarian, and he that speaketh shall be a barbarian unto me. He said, you know what? If these young ladies were speaking to me in Spanish, it means nothing to me. It's foreign to me. I wouldn't know what they're trying to tell me. And if I were speaking to them in German, they wouldn't have a clue what I was trying to tell them. We would be barbarians to each other. He says, even so, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church. He said, edifying the church is the preeminent, most important thing above even the gifts. He says, wherefore, let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. He said, if you're going to stand up, you're going to be a direct speaking in tongues for the body, then pray for an interpretation first. He said, if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. He said, the spirit gets something out of it, but the mind gets nothing. What is it then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the spirit. Has anybody ever seen anybody singing in the spirit? Singing in tongues. I have seen that. That is a powerful thing to see someone speaking in tongues in a melody. That's biblical. Some people have never heard that, never seen that. It's in the Bible right there in verse number 15. And I will sing with the understanding also. Even when thou shalt bless with the Spirit, how shall that he that occupieth the room... Now, this is what I was talking about. Someone comes through the door, and we're all waiting for somebody to come through the door, aren't we? If someone comes through the door and sits down here, this is what Paul tells the Corinthian church, what they're going to view the Corinthian church as. Verse number 16. How shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say amen? He said, how are they going to say amen when they don't know what you're saying? He said, at thy giving of thanks, seeing he understandeth not what thou sayest, for thou verily givest thanks well, but the other is not edified. I thank my God, I speak with tongues more than ye all. Now, verse 18. There are some people that take the book of Corinthians, and Paul is telling them, and he's instructing them on the gifts, and they say, well, Paul said you're not supposed to speak in tongues in church. How many have heard somebody say that? That Paul says you're not supposed to speak in tongues in church. If that is the case, why in verse 18 did Paul say, I speak in tongues more than all of you? That tells me tongues is pretty important to Paul, isn't it? He said, I'm not crazy. He said, I speak in tongues more than all of you. He said, but I know how to do it and have it operate within the church so that the people don't think I'm nuts. He said, but speaking in tongues is necessary because you've got to get yourself edified with God. Verse 19. Well, start at 18 and then we'll read on to 19. I thank my God I speak with tongues more than y'all. Yet in the church I had rather speak five words in my understanding, that my voice I might teach others also, that 10,000 words than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. Brethren, be not children in understanding. Howbeit in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men. In the law it is written, with the men of other tongues and other lips I will speak unto his people. Yet for all that will they hear, not hear me, saith the Lord. Wherefore tongues are for a sign to them. Wherefore tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. Now, the two different tongues, one is giving, that when one of these ladies stands up and they're praying and they're worshiping God and they begin to speak in another language that they didn't learn, and they've yielded themselves to God and they're speaking in tongues, okay? That is the edifying of themselves. And someone sitting in this room knows they don't know that language, but they see them speaking in another language, knows beyond the shadow of a doubt, that's got to be God. There's no way they could speak in another heavenly language or another physical language from another country had they not learned that language. We have literally seen this in the foreign fields where our missionaries in a foreign country, not knowing their language, will physically hear them speak in English clear as bell. And they did not know English. They were speaking in tongues in another country, and they spoke in English. Isn't that amazing? Only God could do that. He said, but the sign of speaking in tongues is not for you, because you all believe in the speaking in tongues. You have all experienced speaking in tongues. He said, but the speaking in tongues is giving for the unbeliever so that they know only God can do that, that they would believe in God. And I'm coming to a close here. If you would come back to the organ, please. I'm going to shut it down here. He said, but prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, but for them which believe. He said, the difference is, prophesying is to strengthen Brother Rodney. It's to strengthen Brother Ted. It's to strengthen Christians. It's to strengthen Sister Denise and these young ladies and Brother Tracy. Prophesying is given so that when Brother Tracy's having a rough day, He's got clear direction from the Word of God of how to get through it. That's what prophesying is. Prophesying is when we're a church and we're struggling whether to expand this building or buy property and build a new one, and we're not sure exactly which way we need to go. Prophesying comes to the man of God to give him clear direction on where we need to go. Acts chapter 2 says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And these signs shall follow them that believe. They shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall touch any deadly thing. It will not harm them. Paul experienced this. Paul was there by the fire. He'd gotten off of the ship. And Paul is wet, shipwrecked, probably not feeling so well. So he goes over and they build a fire, and he takes his clothes and he hangs his clothes by the fire, and he begins to warm his hands by a fire, and all of a sudden a viper, yow, out of the fire clamps onto his hand. The Bible said Paul shook it off into the fire, burned that viper up. And those barbarians that were there from that foreign country that he was traveling by when the shipwreck happened, they looked at him and they were waiting for him to fall over. That man's going to die. That was a viper. He just bit him in the hand. Just watch. He's going to fall. He's going to fall. And he never fell. And he didn't die. Do you know why he didn't die? Because the Bible says you can take up and a serpent can bite you and it won't harm you. Why? Because the Holy Ghost had protected him. It doesn't mean we go pick up snakes and play with them. That's just ignorance. But Paul said, that's just of the devil. I'll shake that off and it ain't going to bother me no more. But you know what? Under the power of the Holy Ghost, we are going to see miracles. We are going to see signs. We are going to see wonders in this church. We have already seen miracles in this church. There's two miracles sitting on the back row right there that we have seen God do in this church. What more do we need to see in miracles? God has done it right before our very eyes. I believe it's time we get excited about the miracles of what God is doing. Amen. Can we all stand? So you say, Pastor, why are you teaching us about the gifts of the Spirit with only 12 people here today? Why are you talking about the gifts of the Spirit? Can we all gather in around the front? It's just us local folks today. Let's all gather in just up around the front.